This is a mortal wound, doctor, I say to the frantic old man. His hands move from my wrist to my neck, desperately searching for a pulse. Footsteps surround me, heavy, rushed. They slowly fade. Dr. Hosak calls for help. More footsteps soon break the silence. Men arrive. Hamilton has been shot, the doctor shouts. Hurry up! They lift me off the ground. We move through the tall grass and down the path. The gentle rush of the river stirs the waiting boat in which I am carefully laid. I sense the body I do not feel and fall out of consciousness. The light drowsiness which had first appeared, I ignored, the logical response of an invincible 13-year-old boy. But the dull condition worsened. A high fever, intense diarrhea, and wrenching vomiting now inflict me. Weakened, I can no longer rise from the bed I share with my sick mother. Our mortal bodies motionless, statues inadvertently discarded on a soaked and rancid mattress. From my feverish dream, I wake to see my mother's face. Her bright blue and immensely peaceful eyes stare tenderly back at me. It warms my heart. Within seconds, I succumb to sleep once more, her gentle stare forever frozen upon my soul. The sunlight casts familiar patterns on the wall. It is morning. Half awake, my head throbbing. Voices echo all around me. Alex, the disease has taken your mother. I straighten, panicked, as the unbearable truth hits me. What little strength I had regained deserts me. My head falls back onto the pillow. The strong woman who incessantly fought for our survival, the mother I so loved, was forever gone. Within a day, our house is taken away to repay our mother's massive debt. Inconvenient witnesses to a life lost, and the subjects to its immediate devastation. My brother James and I stand outside our home in disbelief. Slaves with muscular bodies, their faces covered with rags to protect themselves from the disease that killed my mother, carry our furniture onto the yard. When a carriage appears, the inventory from our mother's small store is hauled away. Another carriage arrives, followed by another, and soon, nothing of our life in this house remains. Nothing but memories. The front door is slammed shut by an irritated landlord who scowls at us in disdain. Helpless, I sit on the ground and lean back against the lone tree in our yard. Exhausted from my illness, I fall into a slumber, and the odor of medicine is replaced by the unbearable stench filling our house a day earlier. The pain in my throat, temples, and legs return as a deep sorrow falls upon me. Ours was a dark house, full of sadness, lies, and despair. My mother's beautiful eyes stare into mine once more. Mother, oh dear mother. A loud burst snaps me out of this dream. I smell the gunpowder floating in the air. I now remember Burr, Weehawken, and the duel. I look up at the branch I just shot, but instead of a clearing in the woods, I find myself in the middle of a rowdy tavern. Rows of tables surround me. Shaken by the palpable reality of the dream I just had, I wonder what brought these memories back from such a distant past. Out of the cacophony of voices filling the boisterous room, silence seems to surround a single man. Alone, in a dark corner of the room, the man holds a pint of beer before him. My father, I wonder. I recognize the features of the man who deserted us, but I'm unsure. So much time has passed since I last saw him. I decide to go greet him. As I sheepishly move forward, a hand grabs my right shoulder and holds it firmly. I turn. This way. Our table is right here, sir, a man says. Still in a daze, I comply, though quite unsure who my companion is. Perhaps he is a businessman whose appointment I have forgotten, or a potential client needing legal counsel. I follow him.